Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. As most of you know, all of you should know by now, we are in Washington, D.C. this week, reporting on ag policy and the policy makers, and all our reports brought to you by North Dakota Corn and the North Dakota Ethanol Council. Now on the radio now is a salesman, an influencer, a convincer, a guy who helps shape ag policy. He is the lobbyist for the North Dakota corn growers, North Dakota grain growers, barley growers, and the National Durum growers. So welcome to Farm Talk, Jim Callen. Good to have you on the radio again, Jim.
Mick, thank you. It's good to be with you. I enjoy our conversations.
This is a busy time for everybody in Washington, D.C. Corn growers have a lot of concerns. Everybody in ag has a lot of concerns. Waters of the U.S., Endangered Species Act, tariffs and trade, crop insurance, lack of a farm bill, 45Z, sustainable aviation fuel, year-round E15, and that's not the whole list. Which one's most important to corn, Jim?
It's remarkable, that list that you just stated, and so much going on, obviously, of concern from a business standpoint for our corn producers in the state and nationally. I think probably most eyes this week will be on House Ag Committee, which will be doing its markup as part of the reconciliation process for the budget. We've heard a lot about that, so it's that committee's turn to come up with cuts and following the instructions from the budget resolution that was passed, and be able to try to implement cuts, and also, you know, that would enable maybe some increases in farm program spending and create some savings for other priorities of the Trump administration and the Congress. They've had to come up with cuts of $238 billion. The Senate only had $1 billion, so I think it's going to come somewhere in between. But it's obviously quite a challenge to come up with those kinds of dollars. I think they're probably looking at SNAP, not necessarily to cut any existing benefits, but maybe to institute some standards that make it a little bit more difficult for folks to come on and to stay on the program for long periods of time. And they're looking at fraud, waste, and abuse, I think they're looking at there, and maybe some more contributions from the states. All this designed to save money. It's a sensitive area because certainly on the Democrat side, they don't want to see any real changes to the SNAP program. Perhaps there'll be some middle ground over areas involving fraud, waste, and abuse. There is a desire to try to increase the farm safety net, so enhance the farm programs, Title I, as we call them, so PLC, for instance, address the gap in the reference prices between 2018 and what we have today, reflect current market conditions, and then also to plus up federal crop insurance, do some enhancements there, and I think they might try to add some research dollars too. I think crop insurance arguably remained number one. It'll be less expensive than increasing reference prices, but a lot of folks need reference prices to be increased. And also there could be some changes allowing for updates to base acres, because in some instances, like I know in the western part of North Dakota, for instance, an increase in reference prices for folks growing certain crops out there wouldn't necessarily be impactful for them unless there's a change in the ability to update base acres. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see some interesting developments, I think, next week, and how those manifest longer term probably remains unknown. We don't know exactly when the farm bill will be addressed, but they got to get through this reconciliation and address these budgetary matters as they relate to agriculture.
Last week, we got some signals from everybody, mostly in the Senate, who said that, the SNAP and some of the other issues in the farm bill might be a deal breaker. Nobody's going to agree to anything. We'll have partisan. We'll have people that can't agree on anything, and the farm bill might not happen this year.
Yes. I mean, I think arguably most folks, Democrats and Republicans, would prefer regular order, meaning to have a farm bill as opposed to addressing farm issues through the budgetary process. Having said that, given that there's this opportunity to address some of these challenges, I think that probably a lot of producers wouldn't want Congress to take a pass on it. So in other words, pursue the opportunity, then that begs the question, well, does that diminish the need for a farm bill? And it very well could. And then you have SNAP, which, as I mentioned, and you're alluding to here, you know, it's sensitive in terms of any changes there. So how is that going to go forth? And if it ends up trying to be done through the farm bill, I think that could pose challenges, because the spirit has always been to try to get strong bipartisan support for a farm bill.
All right. It's a work in progress, and who knows, and it's still dumbfounding to me that we are still in 2025 operating on the 2018 farm bill. But farmers, again, can't control the things you can't control would drive you crazy. So farmers, I guess, just have to take a deep breath and wait and see. Regarding
they're remarkable how they plug away, and you know they're focusing now on the coming season. I just got off the phone with a producer in North Dakota who's talking about lamenting the rain that's happening right now. So you can do everything right, then you have the vagaries of weather. Then, of course, you have what's happening on the policy front, too, you know, the lack of a farm bill. So there are definitely some headwinds.
Yeah. However, in the first Trump administration, he tried to get year-round E15. The Environmental Protection Agency seems to be a little more farmer-friendly. Don't know about the Interior Department yet. The Ag Department is, Brooke Rollins is apparently, she says she's putting farmers first. So it seems like the administration is a little more farmer-friendly. It's Congress that hasn't changed their stance, huh?
Well, as you know, Mick, on E15, there was a provision in the continuing resolution of December of last year, and then all of a sudden it was pulled out due to a tweet by a certain influential multi-billionaire. And he didn't necessarily talk about that, but it was more in terms of the large package and how many things were in there that probably shouldn't have been in there. So that was taken out, unfortunately. So now we have this process here with E15, and the administration is quite supportive. I think there have been two executive orders by President Trump that have addressed the need for biofuels and promoting homegrown domestic energy sources. And so they have this waiver now that the EPA recently issued, as you noted, and Secretary Rollins at USDA is supportive, quite supportive, and has a great relationship with Administrator Zeldin over at EPA. So they have this waiver now for summer E15, which in effect makes it year round at least for this year, right? And then those eight states, of course, were received in a waiver to come in. And have the ability to offer it year round. So these are big steps that are really important just in time, right, in terms of the waiver.
Yeah.
For the planning that needs to go into place to happen for these products to be able to get in there.
We're visiting with Jim Callen, who is the representative in Washington for North Dakota corn growers, the North Dakota grain growers, barley growers, U.S. durum growers. Jim, I'll ask you to take your professional hat off and put your personal hat on now. And in your opinion, how important is sustainable aviation fuel to corn growers? How big of a market could this be, and how much could it increase the demand for U.S. corn domestically?
I think it's huge, Mick. You know, we're banking on it. We really want it to happen. We want to make sure that the provisions in it are going to be make sense for producers and enable them, encourage them to grow the corn so it's used for SAF. And that the standards are in place that are going to provide for a viable marketplace. I think it has great potential, you know, and coupled with E15, you have obviously the trade headwinds. So we need these things to happen on the domestic level.
And what are the roadblocks that are preventing that from happening?
They still need to figure out what the exact standards are going to be on 45Z. And then there's some challenges in terms of, other countries and how they evaluate the fuel, and they have maybe different ways of looking at this and requiring more sustainable practices than we might do here, and that could pose some challenges.
All right. Regarding the tariffs and trade deals, those are happening, right? Is the dust settling, or is this going to linger? And how big of a hit is this to the U.S. economy and farmers' bottom line?
Well, we're seeing some announcements from equipment manufacturers in the ag sector that they're going to be likely increasing prices. That creates a challenge, and you know, as you have difficulty there and the uncertainty, I think it does negatively impact producers' bottom lines. And if they lose market share, those markets are often hard to get back. I know that Secretary Rollins understands this, and she's going to be trying to open up some more markets. I think she's visiting 6 countries, several in Asia, in the coming weeks, with that purpose in mind, to open up some markets for U.S. producers. But we certainly need that to happen, and we have to make sure we're able to get through these tariffs. I think there's been discussions among a lot of countries with the United States. Certainly, there's Japan and India, I think, are making a concerted effort. But you know, it's not easy to get these agreements done as quickly as I think we would all like to have them done. And then there's the big challenge with China. They really have very limited imports of our corn now anyway, and then trying to make them have them make changes in terms of how they operate, which hasn't been fair over the years. I think that's all going to take time. And so we'll have to also watch what happens with soybeans. And we're seeing that you know, Brazil is continuing to take market share from us.
Jim, I'm going to ask you a last question here. Say something encouraging for the farmers who are listening.
I'm just so impressed with them, with their grit and you know, their ability to work through really, really tough times. Now, I understand that the administration is considering a market facilitation program along the lines of what they did in the first Trump in 2018, 2019. But Secretary Rollins has said she wants to wait till harvest time so they have a better understanding of what the losses would have been. They haven't said they will do one, but that's what they're looking to do right now. And I think also, you know, from a perspective of the northern tier, when you have North Dakota and South Dakota and Minnesota and some of these other states, I think in a really influential position now, perhaps more influential than at any time in recent history in terms of the players that are in there and are pro-agriculture from an elected official standpoint, and also officials that are in the Trump administration. So it's a unique opportunity, for instance, on something like conservation, you know, where you have these rules that impinge on your ability to manage your land around wetlands, or in some cases where it's an acre or less, or wanting an ability to maybe buy, you know, prevent easements from being more than 30 or 50 years old, and have an ability to buy back some of that land so you can manage it the way you want to do it. So I think there's some opportunities there, and we're certainly working hard for our farmers.
Boy, and you are, and we thank you for that. Jim Callen of Callen and Associates, who is the lobbyist. I refer to you as a salesman and an influencer, which is what you're trying to, representing the interests of North Dakota corn, North Dakota grain growers, barley growers, and durum growers. So, Jim, thank you for the visit. Thanks for the work you do, and we'll sit down face-to-face again one day soon.
Appreciate you, and look forward to that, Mick.
All right, thank you. Have a great week.
You too.
Again, all our reports brought to you by North Dakota Corn and the North Dakota Ethanol Council. And we'll take a break. Be right back with more after this on Farm Talk.